Good afternoon, Mad Men Mafia.
I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I be Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations.
For who?
For you.
For you, baby.
Right here on your home for healthy masculinity.
That's right.
And so today, we're this is the first time in quite a while it's just been the two of us.
Yeah, man.
It feels like almost lonely in here.
We've been doing a lot of, as the Mad Men Mafia expands, like the universe that it is.
There is some expansion going on.
We've been making better connections, good connections with a lot of people, a lot of phenomenal people with a lot of good topics, subject experts on different things that we want to talk about and all those kinds of things, man. And so we've been having a bunch of a bunch of guests in the studio, which a lot of radio shows and podcasts and such are just guest heavy. Basically, they're pretty much all about just having different guests on. Well, we normally don't roll like that because we got a bunch of topics we can just talk about anyway. So we historically we haven't had we're not a guest driven show here. So, but yeah, lately, man, we just been coming across so many great people, man, that we can't help it. But yeah, it's kind of rare that it's just been the two of us.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many topics that need to be discussed when it comes to healthy masculinity or just healthy human beings in general. Mm-hmm. So it's no wonder it'd be really easy, especially, if we were doing this 5 days a week, then we might have more just us time. But then again, I'm pretty sure if we developed this platform to that high of a standard and we did 5 days a week, we'd probably fill those up pretty quick too, because there's so many people. And I mean, almost every guest we've had we want to have back. So and of course, this is part of the reason we do this show for you guys, because we want to have these experts in. We want to have these other voices. Because I know as much as you love listening to us, it's nice to have a different point of view, a different voice, a different face occasionally here on the video.
Yeah. And there's an unlimited amount of topics that we can, we can bring up or bring in, especially when it comes to the betterment of men, men getting better, speaking for men or speaking to men. There's this unlimited amount of stuff that we can get into. And so anyhow, that's generally speaking why we have not had so many, guests over the time we've been doing this. But then we've been having a bunch, lately. But just between the two of us, there's so many stuff.
It's just the development of the show. I mean, show's growing, we're growing, and absolutely, we're making more connections. But
I've noticed, though, I've heard a lot of people, I've known a lot of people that have started doing this since we started doing this, and very few have continued this long.
Yeah.
Very few have had the longevity of just years of doing this and just even progress in doing that whole thing. A lot of people have podcasts, and obviously we stream this, over different podcast platforms, but then we're also over the air in the Mile High City, KLDC here in Denver. I've seen a lot of people kind of come and go. It's kind of rare for folks to kind of get into this and do it on the on the long haul like we have.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of you got to find the right partners, you got to find the right support system, and then you got to do something you love. I mean,
boom.
Like we said so many times, we would be having these conversations anyway.
Pretty much.
So we just decided, I think it was one of the first times we hung out and having coffee, we had 3-4 hour conversations. It was maybe we should record these things.
Yeah, for real.
And then that was just a genesis. So, whether it was divinely guided or not, here you go. This is us talking to you, doing the show.
Now, you told me that I'm going to be the guest.
You are the guest today.
How am I the guest, man?
Because,
I'm a guest in my own crib, man.
I saw a guy talking about this, and it was just kind of interesting. So, this is not even part of the topic of the show today, but it said, if you want to find out, your strengths and weaknesses and stuff, ask your best friend, why are we friends? And I thought about that because he said, well, he won't even know what to say, or they won't even know what to say. But I just, we'll just get along. But I can say pretty clearly that I consider you my best friend because of this show, because of our similar mindset, because of the support, because you're just a generally good dude. And outside the show, I think we've mentioned it a few times, but I don't think we've ever really dug real deep into the other work that you do and the other coaching and things that you do with other men. And you have talked about your path away from addiction. You have talked about the backseat of the car and then having the awakening and getting away from that and then developing your own system. But we've never really talked about what it is and how it works, and then maybe even have you break it down a little bit so that somebody listening to this will decide, hey, I want to come see Kirk and take this class, because we need help in so many different ways, and getting free from addictions is a huge one.
Yeah, so cutting to the chase, I spent the 30 of the first 40 years of my life in deep addiction, not even just heavy consumption, but in deep addiction. And that deep addiction was to what originally started off as not, but grew into internet pornography. And it dominated every part of my life. I mean, obviously when we were young, before the internet, it wasn't the internet. It was VHS and DVD, and then, you
know,
if you
were lucky.
Yeah, I mean, if you were lucky, then you had dial up where you had to sit there and wait for, you know, it took a minute for one like little picture to load and all that kind of
stuff.
Talking
about how simping are you if you're gonna wait 15 minutes to see one picture?
Dude, I mean, I'm telling you, man. And then
kids these days have no idea the struggle.
When broadband internet came out, you know, a decade or so ago. More than a decade, I guess, by now, 15 years, something like that. When broadband internet came out, high speed internet, then it just got stupid. Then it was just ridiculous. And over that 30 years, man, I lost two marriages, I lost a career. To your point, at my rock bottom, I was sleeping in the back of my car, and I began outside of a hospital, and I began to rationalize and then to plan and formalize my plan on how to end it all. And if it wasn't for I was a couple pounds of pressure on my index finger from not being here having this conversation. And so at that rock bottom, it was like, okay, something's got to break, something's got to snap. And I'm kind of unapologetic with the fact that for me it was a God moment. It was one of those, all right, God, you know, either you hate me and you never want me to get free of this, or you're gonna show me how. And I went to search. And I started looking at what I was getting from it, specifically what things I was getting from it, why I couldn't stop. Once I kind of figured out the things I was getting from it, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, physically, mentally, you know, neurologically, emotionally, all these other kind of things. Once I figured out what I was getting, then I flipped it and did the reverse engineering of how can I get that from natural sources or natural ways, and supplement that into my life and use that as a springboard to freedom. And so ultimately, the parking spot I used to sleep in my car, I ended up beginning I formulated a class to teach that, and I began teaching that class like 100 feet away from where I was parking my car in that parking lot. And so
there are no coincidences.
No way, man, not at all. And so, man, it just grew and developed, and yeah, now, you know, COVID kind of came in and hit that, and of course I had a feeling Mike was going to chime in. You know, it was 10 years ago this May. This guy that just commented, Mike Hansen, my buddy, I was like, hey, man, you know, will you sit down and, you know, go have me go through this, you know, this at that point, I said, let's do once a week for 6 weeks and go through this curriculum. And we did. And that was 10 years ago this May. And I'd been teaching that class. COVID came in, kind of shut that down a little bit. So primarily I've been, you know, lately doing one-on-one coaching and working with either individuals or, like, if it's a younger teen, a father and son kind of thing. And so, yeah, man, I mean, you know, just the whole idea of, I mean, you can't have a show about masculinity and you can't have a show about men's stuff and get into the man universe without talking about pornography today, man. It's prolific. Every 24 hours, there's 48 hours of content uploaded. There's approximately 17,000 lifetimes of content on the internet right now for consumption. In other words, if a person lives 17,000 times, they wouldn't be able to consume all of the content that's available today. And so, you know, I mean, 6 out of 10 divorces involve somebody with a porn problem. And so it's just prevalent in our culture, almost such that it's like when you ask a fish, how's the water? The fish says, what water?
Right.
In our culture, everything, I mean, it's just given. So So yeah, I mean, and that launched, you know, that got me into publishing my first book. And then, like I said, that got me into teaching the class and kind of getting into the realities of just addiction, period. But that addiction specifically. And
well, don't skate over it. I mean, yeah. You said your first book, but what is it? What's the title? Where can people buy it?
I'm a terrible guest, huh?
I'm telling you, man. I'm trying to help you out here.
I ain't even bring the book away, but it's on Amazon. You can search Kirk M. Samuels. For Your Eyes Only, The Inside Scoop About Men, Porn, and Marriage is the first book. And that book is not the solution to porn. That book is actually more targeted to wives or people who are around the consumer or the person itself. But it's explaining kind of the under the hood, here's what's happening. And, you know, I call it the six V's. The six V's of the IP mistress, I call her. And
what, yeah, the IP mistress thing is huge, yeah. Especially if you've ever dealt with it or you want to educate yourself a little bit on a porn addiction, because you're like, well, why am I so stuck on this? Yeah. And then you get a little bit of education, and that thing was an eye-opener for me when I was like, oh
yeah, it becomes a person. I personified it, and I described what she does that nobody else can do in your life, and how she becomes the pivotal central role model and character in a man's life and those things. So I break that down kind of in that book. And then, you know, again, that opened the door to X, Y, and Z. That opened the door to speaking. That opened the door to other stuff. I mean, and that ultimately, I wouldn't be here had I not, you know, answered the purpose call to address the biggest dragon that has ever existed in my life and a lot of guys' lives.
Well, I know we've covered it before, but let's touch on it again, because we say that for most men, you shouldn't have to go to that rock bottom place to find your purpose or your place, but how many of us actually end up there, and, you know, how many of us don't make it out?
Yeah. Ideally, you shouldn't have to, but I find that most, in most cases, by far, it takes a rock bottom experience in order to have reality, you know, step in. I like to say sometimes that sometimes the end of your rope is the beginning of your fuse, and sometimes, you know, you got to hit rock bottom. You, in order to build a skyscraper, you got to dig down to solid foundation, and so sometimes that has to happen that way. I wish it wouldn't have, because like I said, two families had suffered. I got two sets of kids and a lot of relational trauma between myself and kids and all this other kind of stuff. And there's a lot of collateral damage. And so I wish it wouldn't have happened that way. That's, you know, one of my huge regrets in life. And so, you know, at this point, the best I can do is try to do the best I can do.
Yeah, well, for the most part in the world today, and this is for everybody, so look at this as an example if you're in that same boat. But all role models and the best role models, I won't say all, but most role models, most real role models have a past like that. They have a past where they were not real happy about it. They're not, you know, they would rather go back and change it, but it wasn't for that past, and they wouldn't have the ability to be the role model and the strength and the courage to help other people down the road, because you have to go through it to get through it. But yeah. And speaking of going through to get through, we better go through this break.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Men of Masculinity right here on KLDC. We'll be right back.
I didn't bring my bottle of water. Yeah, I'm a terrible guest, man. I had a feeling, though. Nah, I'm good. I had a feeling Mike, you out there. I had a feeling Mike was going to chime in, man. And Mike's actually launching.
He could feel you in the force.
He's he could. He's launching a program and online program. And
would you want to get into the kind of nuts and bolts of the program on the second?
Sure. It's your interview, man.
Hey.
You in charge, man.
Well, that's why I'm asking the guest. I'm asking the guest what you want to do.
You in charge, man. You in charge. I'm the guest. I'm riding shotgun. I'm Robin, you Batman.
See, this is what happens when
until you try to
interview your friends, right. And they don't give you nothing.
They don't give you nothing.
Nothing.
Make it hard on you. We can.
Just 20 seconds? Oh, my God. See, yeah. Friends, yeah. Don't work with friends.
Friends don't let friends do interviews. For real.
Hey, see, Mike said he'll come in and MC for us.
Right on. And Mike's good people, man.
You ready? You ready to get back on it?
Let's do it.
All right.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Mad Men of Masculinity.
Right here on KLDC.
12:20 a.m.
in the Mile High City. Highs.
Home of the NBA champion.
They'll say it.
Denver Nuggets. And we got a baseball team in town.
I'm really proud of your restraint lately.
Yeah. I'm not.
Some of those death threats were getting kind of.
Yeah, I know. It was getting hairy, man.
Getting hairy.
People showing up with baseball bats
in the parking lot. Did you get that dent fixed? Did you get a new mirror yet?
Well, you know, man. No, I didn't get a new mirror. Somebody. I need a new mirror. Talking about the baseball team here in town.
No, we're just kidding. Don't anybody on the Rockies team think we're actually being threatened. We're just joking.
No, this is comedy.
Y'all.
I love the Rockies, man.
Comedy.
And ain't nothing like going to a baseball game, man.
That's right. You know. So before the break, we talked about you being a role model now because of the past that you are not proud of, but the fact that you turned it around and turned it into something positive, and especially the coaching and the classes you do. I mean, yeah. I entitled this Free Indeed. Let's talk about the Free Indeed. Like, why is it Free Indeed in 36?
Ooh, that's deep. First of all, I normally type F.R.E.E, like, you know, an acronym kind of thing. And for me, that's freedom reaching everyone everywhere. I'm all about freedom, man. Freedom is my passion. That's the sword that I fight with on a daily basis. And I call it Free Indeed as a hint to a Bible verse, actually, John 8:36, you know, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And that's where the name of the class came from. And that's, like I said, that's my, you know, that's kind of my calling card in terms of I am all about freedom, and I don't come at it from a morality perspective. I think a lot of people have expressed to me in the past that they wish I would come at it more of what's right and what's wrong in terms of porn consumption is wrong and this and that. I don't think it's my place. I'm not somebody's God. I'm not people's parents or their conscience. And so it's not for me to say what's right or wrong in somebody's life. But I will say that if it's not right, if it's not good, the person knows it's not good. If it's damaging, the person knows it's not damaging. I don't need to tell them. You know, we, by far, most of us, unless you're a serious sociopath and all that kind of stuff, most of us have some kind of a check inside of us of, is this good for me? And if it's not. And so I tell guys, man, you know, if it's good for you, I'm not going to tell you it's not. If it's not good for you, I shouldn't have to tell you that it isn't. And so, from that perspective, man, I'd rather be known for what I'm for, not for what I'm against. And I'm for freedom. I'm absolutely for freedom from anything that, you know, that could hold you down, especially from, anything that could hold a guy down. You know, the world needs, our country, our society needs more men who are consciously free, physically free, purposely free, to be the best that we can be. So that's the direction I come from. But that's where the name of the class and the curriculum comes from.
I like that because, I mean, it's a slippery slope, and you can very quickly go from consciously making a decision to do something to unconsciously making that decision. And then once that happens, it becomes a habit. You start creating neural pathways. And then one day you go, I wish I could stop. I just can't stop. And then you have to do things like hit rock bottom and then reverse engineer why you're addicted to this thing and what you're getting out of it. And I love that you did that because I've heard that from so many other people in the therapy industry or whatnot, that they just say reverse engineer, like you're getting something out of every decision you're making. So maybe it's time to stop and reverse engineer and go, well, what is it I'm getting out of this? Is it a dopamine hit? Is it an adrenaline rush? Is it physical sensation? Is it soothing pains and emotions and doing those things? So I love that because there, I think a lot of us, if we really did a assessment and a real personal inventory, we'd realize we weren't really freely choosing a lot of things we do. We were just sleepwalking through life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, porn is the only drug that you can do in your sleep. There's no purchase of it. It's free and unlimited. The only other thing that's free and unlimited to us as people is air. And so to tell somebody just stop doing that, you know, okay, how long is that going to last? And so it is a drug. And so, and that drug, like many others, come with the risk and the likelihood at some point of addiction. And that addiction is, you know, doing the same thing over and over again with negative consequences to it. And so to your point, I'm getting something out of it. Like I'm literally getting, when somebody's addicted to something, they're not necessarily addicted to that thing. They're addicted to the effects of that thing. So somebody is not necessarily addicted to alcohol. You're addicted to things like acetylcholine and all the other, you know, the neurological, you know, neurotransmitters that kick off and different things like that. And so from a pornography perspective, you absolutely get addicted to dopamine. You get addicted to testosterone. You know, you get addicted to the endorphins. You get addicted, to the sense of connection. You get addicted to all of these kinds of things, man. And so that thing that you're doing, it's a habit, and that habit is creating a response from that habit, and those are the things you get addicted to. And so when we have anything that we do over and over again, you got to look at, okay, why am I doing that and what am I doing, especially if it's something that is not beneficial to your life.
When a guy, let's say he's dealing with addiction to porn, or maybe he's just curious if he does have one, how would you maybe guide somebody to go, maybe I do have, maybe, you know, you get so used to something, you think, well, this is just the way I am, but how do you, you know, kind of highlight that or put a flashlight on, you know, the spotlight on, oh, maybe I do have an addiction?
When you have an addiction to heroin, at some point, your body shuts down and says, I can't do this anymore, and you die. I mean, and same thing, you know, fentanyl, I mean, alcohol, you name it. There's a lot of, I mean, with substances, at some point, your body just can't handle it anymore, and your body just quits. With pornography, it actually, it almost turns you into a zombie in terms of the thing that dies is your relationships. So the overdose to pornography consumption is the inability to hold and keep and maintain close relationships. And when you find, and you ultimately find yourself being more and more lonely, which you have to medicate the loneliness with the IP mistress, which then just further, you know, exacerbates the problem. It's like the story of the wolf licking the sword, and, you know, eventually, you know, you taste the blood from his own tongue and he keeps licking the sword and you end up, you know, killing yourself. And so, you know, when you do that thing over and over again, what ends up happening is you end up more and more lonely, more and more isolated. And more specifically, without deep relationships in your life. And that was the thing that I realized. Every guy that's addicted to porn is looking for connection. As a matter of fact, you know, it's been said that the opposite of sobriety is connection, uh-huh. right? But every guy looking for porn or looking at porn and consuming porn, especially in massive quantities, is not only looking for connection, but looking for intimacy, looking for a place where I can be completely safe. And this is kind of the stuff that we get into the psychology of it all, of, you know, this place is safe. It's femininity. It's submissive. It's serving me. It's trustworthy. It's dependable. All these things that we would love to have in the context of a real relationship, but we can't have it. And so we end up going to that thing, to that artificial source. And just like most artificial sources, they're never as good as the real thing, but you end up just consuming it, and it'd be detrimental to you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up about the intimacy thing, because I know there were times where I would soothe using internet pornography while I was in relationships because I was feeling disrespected, not intimate, or, you know, there was some issue in the relationship, and then you have those fights. Well, I'm right here. Why are you doing that? And, and then it's almost as unconscious, like I'm soothing myself. It's like when the, you know, the autistic kids are rocking, they're self-soothing. And so I think sometimes when you self-assess and you realize, oh, I'm using this to self-soothe, what would be a better option? And if the relationship is causing you to self-soothe, maybe it's time to reassess that relationship or get some counseling.
Well, some of that, you know, and this is getting kind of deep into the weeds of it all, but some of that goes even back to when we have childhood stuff that we haven't dealt with, and we learn, and most men were introduced to pornography somewhere between the ages of 8 and 11.
5 and 6 for me.
Right. I mean, and so you're an overachiever.
Well,
you're ahead of the curve. And so we learn how to soothe, particularly in that way. And our sexuality is key to our masculinity. I mean, that's like one of the main ingredients to our masculinity, to our identity as human beings. I mean, you can talk to, you know, go back and talk to Freud, or go back to, you talk to any psychologist, and yeah, our sexuality is huge to us. And so when we learn how to soothe at a young age and begin to develop our relational identity around that,
coping mechanisms,
exactly, then it then becomes something that's so hard to break. And so I'll tell wives, for example, wives will, so, you know, wives look at a husband's pornography use, especially, you know, outside of with her, and that's a whole nother Oprah as well, but wives look at it as cheating.
Right.
They don't
see it as soothing.
Men say, cheating. I do this so I don't cheat.
Right.
Right. And so, but wives look at it as cheating, as infidelity. And so to her, she draws back. And then when she draws back, pulls back, this is what generally happens. She pulls back and then he leans more into his self-soothing because, you know, there's a breakdown of trust and a breakdown of intimacy in the context of the relationship. And so it just becomes a vicious cycle. And again, this is how relationships and marriages end up falling apart. But I tell wives, you know, wives see pornography as like the mistress. And I, like I said, I even call her the IP mistress. But the reality is the wife was the second one in the relationship, the second woman.
Ouch.
The IP mistress was there before her. Mm. Right. And so he had a relationship with pornography way before he had a relationship with you. So when you came into the picture, you were already trying to muscle her out of the picture. And so you can't look at it now like all of a sudden he should just be able to stop doing what he's been doing since he's been 8 years old. I'm not saying he can't. Obviously, I teach people how. But in terms of that relational dynamic in the home, you got to realize, wives, girlfriends, you're the second woman. If anything, you're the mistress. And so most guys, you know, have to even unpack all of that in terms of trusting you more than he trusts that. And that's very difficult as well. On top of all the chemical, you know, stuff that he's getting in his brain, and on top of the physical, you know, all the physical reactions and the physical manifestations and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if we're being real, you know, there are some phenomenal things that happen in your brain during orgasm, right? And if a guy is consuming porn 4, 5, 6 hours a day, like I was at one point, I mean, no wife can keep up with that. And oh, by the way, you know, no wife can swap up and become, you know, go from a 6 foot Amazonian whatever to a 3 foot midget like that, you know, but porn can. Right. Yeah, and so there's unlimited variety.
It sounds kind of like how most guys feel about their ladies' toy collection. It's like, how can I compete with that? I don't even vibrate like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a viable, you know, question. And so, you know, and again, a lot of times these things, they begin to get off track and they begin to get in the way of the relationship. And then guys end up being, you know, heavily consuming and addicted to something like this specifically.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get in the way because we have taken another break.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. It's about that time.
You are exactly right.
I'm exactly right. I've been counting.
You are right on. Boom.
We'll be right back. Right here on the Mad Men Show.
You were right on, dude.
We just blew their eardrums
totally
out.
I don't know where that came from.
We're sorry about y'all. It's eardrums.
Sorry.
That was
right on, dude. 1301.
Nice. I knew we were getting close. Should we dig into the wives thing some more? Because I know there's going to be some.
You in charge, man. I'm the guest.
All right, cool.
I'm the guest. It's your show. What y'all think? Should we, Mike, what do you think, man?
Yeah. You're the one talking to us today. We're just talking to ourselves again.
But, yeah, man, you the guest, man. I'm
the guest now?
I'm the guest. you the host. Or Mike will chime in with a question or a topic or an aspect or something like that, or somebody else. Here he is.
What's the question?
That's what we ask you.
See, come on. We can't even get him to pay attention.
I know, man. All right, here we go.
Yep. And we're back.
We're back.
Mad Men of Masculinity.
Yeah.
On the KLDC.
Yeah.
Radio Network.
That's right. On podcasts everywhere, madmenradio.com. Hey, all month long, we're giving out free likes and free shares. And so we're not even going to charge you. We took down the paywall to hit share and to hit like. And
for all of you that use iPhones, and I've been promising to get us on Apple Podcasts, Apple just sent and said that we're on Apple Podcasts now. So please go and find Mad Men Radio on Apple Podcasts and start downloading, start listening. And let me know. Let us know, because I don't know if it downloaded the whole library from Spotify or that we've been uploading on Buzzsprout. But just let us know. But, yeah, we should be on all Apple platforms now.
And today I'm the guest.
He's the guest.
And I'm being a difficult guest, too.
And by the way,
I'm not even helping.
He's soon to get a year older, so this is his lead up to his birthday celebration, because, you know, when you're older, you got to start party for a month.
For real.
Because you only last about 2 hours a day.
For real, man. You got to spread it out.
That's what she said. Oh, sorry.
Oh, see.
That was rude.
That was rude.
That's what Speaking she of said. Being rude, you started talking about what wives and girlfriends need to know about their man's porn addiction or about porn in his life prior to them. Mm-hmm. We should probably dig into that because I guarantee you there's a lot of wives, a lot of questions, or even just girlfriends who are like, they're just assuming that, well, now he has me, he's going to quit or let that go, and not realizing how maybe entangled they are.
Like I said, 6 out of 10 divorces involve somebody with a porn problem. That equates to about 1 million divorces every year.
1 million. Right?
A couple million people going through a divorce because of porn or involving porn. And if pornography is a problem in your relationship, you have an intimacy problem. You're not communicating. You have money issues. You're not on the same page, and all these other kind of things exist. And so they all kind of go hand in hand. But yeah, it's just a reality. And what I found, by the way, is that, normally in the end, wives knew that it was a problem in the beginning, but they thought, just like the men did, that it'll go away once you get married. Trust me, it won't. Been there, done that. You know, if you don't unpack your baggage, it becomes luggage, and you end up taking it with you everywhere you go. I took it from one career to another career. I took it from one state to another state. I took it from one marriage to another marriage. And it's not until you unpack your bags that you actually deal with the whole thing. And so, so when I communicate with wives, again, wives really, really, really have problems with why the fact, and they should, why the fact their husband can't stop. And, you know, I like to say if it was that easy, you know, and if it was that easy, it wouldn't be, you know, an issue in our culture, but it is something that is there and it's probably not going to go away anytime soon. You know, I mean, I have some roots in the internet and cable industry from a communications perspective, and I can tell you that they're adding more bandwidth with newer technologies that's coming on, and so your internet is going to get faster, and he's going to have, you know, I used to have multiple windows up on my screen at the same. I mean, it was just ridiculous, and so yeah, from you know, wives, I'm not saying you should deal with it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying that suck it up, buttercup. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, first of all, to acknowledge that it existed before you did in his persona, in his life. And so the expectation that he should just be able to stop is unrealistic. Now, the problem is his. It's his problem, but the solution is both of yours. It's his problem to deal with, but the solution to the problem is intimacy. Hmm. Hence why I started going by the intimacy incubator. The problem is intimacy, or the solution, rather, is intimacy to the problem that's his to solve, which is his consumption. He eventually is going to have to let go of one vine and grab onto the next one. But in order for him to do that, there is a process to let go of the first vine, and there's a process to grab on and hang on to the second vine. The process to let go of the first vine is to learn how to get free from that addiction and to replace all of those things that he's getting. And the second part of that, to grabbing onto the new vine, is the two of you developing some ridiculous level of intimacy where he can trust you. Hmm. He can trust you with his good days, with his bad days. He can trust you with them freaky thoughts that he has. Whether you carry him out or not, the fact that he has these thoughts and these ideas, maybe these fantasies, and at least be able to communicate them without judgment, the safe place to be him. I think, in my opinion, every man has a shadow side, and his ability to share his shadow side with the woman in his life is key to his level of trust with her.
Yeah, it sounds like this is something that ladies need to add to their dating repertoire. I mean, mm-hmm. and guys as well. I mean, if you can have these conversations mm-hmm. with somebody you're dating, I mean, you should be vetting them anyway. Yeah. So bringing up uncomfortable subjects and having these conversations should be on your to-do list. But what I'm noticing too, and it's becoming a whole man and woman issue. It's not just men. I mean, men mostly, because it's very easy for us to use that as a soothing technique. But I mean, a couple of years ago, three out of ten women were subscribers on like Pornhub and other subscription site. So it's growing with the females, and part of that is, to your point, I'm pretty sure, the lack of intimacy. And so when you ladies are playing out these roles or using that as what you think guys want, guys, for the most part, like Kirk said, want intimacy, and they're not getting it. They're not getting the respect that they want. They're not getting the opportunity to be men in the relationships like they want. And so it's falling back on a lot of ladies now where they're lacking intimacy, and they want to be seen. They want to have all the attention that they crave. And so now they're monetizing themselves to gain the attention. And that's causing – I'm afraid for what the future is going to hold, because, I mean, I can only imagine all these girls that are monetizing their bodies now to get the attention, and who think they're boss babes because they are monetizing their bodies and making some money, what that's going to affect them, or how that's going to affect them in the future. I mean, they may never be able to have a healthy relationship in the future.
You can't have a healthy relationship when porn consumption is out of balance in a relationship. First of all, it creates double insecurities. It creates insecurities for women in terms of what bodies are supposed to look like. It creates insecurities for men and women on what bodies are supposed to look like. Those, I mean, first of all, it's so produced, heavily produced these days, that bodies aren't even real. There's special effects being used in the industry to, you know, make things appear to be more this and more that. Most, you know, insecurity about body image-wise. You know, after you have a baby, your body's not going to be the same, right? You know, but if you look at that, you think, oh, well, that's what my body's supposed to look like. And if my body doesn't look like that, then, you know, then I got issues with me. Same thing with guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm supposed to be as endowed as this guy, you know, on the screen.
And they're taking like the top 1%.
And the reality is it doesn't work that way, right? So it creates some level of insecurity, and it creates a false baseline for what, you know, physical intimacy, i.e. sex, is supposed to look like between, you know, between two people. And so it creates just a breakdown in the relationship, not only of insecurities, but of trust issues as well.
Well, I mean, it just exacerbates the normal insecurities of men and women. I mean, especially for guys, you know, just the whole cultural narrative of, you know, you got to be big this and you got to be big that. And then you grow up watching these things with the biggest people on the planet who are oversized by leaps and bounds from what is quote-unquote normal or what the norm is. And, you know, granted, yeah, okay, there's some variation there, but when you're talking John Holmes things and you're looking at you like, I'm never going to measure up because, you know, I'm not a ruler. You know, I'm not a foot long.
And then, again, what it creates on the woman's side, on, I'm going to say wife slash girlfriend, whatever, what it creates on that side, the feminine side of the dynamic, is unrealistic as well. There's nothing accurate about that. It's like watching an action movie. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch a Top Gun movie, Tom Cruise really ain't, well, I mean, you know, the stuff that, come on, man, like the stuff that's happening, watching a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same kind of thing in terms of it's not real. It's produced. But at the same time, you know, we tend to think in our culture that that's the baseline for what it's supposed to be.
And it's not. There's so much miseducation nowadays that it's affecting young people so much. Young women think that that's how they need to behave sexually. Right. Young men have consumed so much pornography that now their bodies do not produce, which, I mean, the testosterone has been dropping, what was it, Adam said, 1% a year since 1980. And, you know, that's been happening anyway. Then you add in consumption of pornography from a young age through puberty, and then their hormones are out of whack altogether. There are 20-something-year-old guys that Dr. Lee from Castle Rock Men's Clinic is treating.
Yeah,
because their bodies do not produce enough testosterone to be healthy, to even have a healthy sex drive, because they've dopamine themselves right off the, you know, the balanced hormonal.
And, you know, we've obviously now we're kind of you know, talking about a lot of the effects and all that. Maybe when we get to this last segment, we'll even talk to some of the solutions.
We probably should get to some cures. I think people want to know.
But the baseline is, and I'll say this. This is something that I've come to learn, you know, since I've kind of gotten on this side of the porn addiction, is that, first of all, a man can't be a king if he can't control his kingdom. And if he doesn't have control over himself, then he can never have control over a kingdom, right? And so you can't be a king when a mistress is deciding what you should and shouldn't do as a king. Hmm. And then in addition, you know, by far you're going to suffer in terms of your connection with other people, other guys. You're not going to have relationships and all those other kind of things. And a man can't be what a man needs to be if he can't relate and connect to other people. And so these are things in our culture that, man, you know, it's man, there's an unlimited amount of ways to, you know, effects and impacts and different topics and aspects of it. But as from a man perspective, it is imperative for us to seek the freedom that we deserve and to live out the freedom that we deserve. And you can't be addicted to any. I don't care if you're addicted to work. Like, I don't care if you're addicted to Xbox or PlayStation. Like, you know, it's just not going to work. And unfortunately today, by far, you know, most men are heavily, 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 and more women are heavily, 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 you know, consuming, you know, porn in just massive ways, and it's having a tremendous impact.
Yeah, I mean, and to the point of the reason we do it is because we're lacking intimacy. That is the biggest issue. Yeah. And porn is a huge part of that. I mean, social media is a huge part of that, just streaming and having things delivered by Amazon. Like, we're not going outside anymore. We're not meeting people organically anymore. And then we wonder why we're so unhappy. We wonder why we're over-medicating and soothing with all these different things, which nowadays, and I think Adam brought up a great point when we had Adam from The Forge on, without the struggle, the comfort is destroying our masculinity and in turn destroying our relationships, our intimacy, and our family, because we're overly comfortable. The kids nowadays, you ask them to do anything, and they freak out because they're not used to doing anything. Yeah. And we were lucky enough to grow up in a time where we actually, you know, you had one phone and three TV channels, and the TV went off at 11:59 at night, and that was it. Now you have 24/7, 1 million channels of whatever you want to watch, and if you are weak in the control or the discipline, then you're going to find something to soothe with. And yeah. So understanding that this is not about this is bad or that's bad, it's anything overconsumed, anything not in moderation will become bad, will become an addiction, and it takes your freedom. It takes your masculine sovereignty away from you as a guy. And if you're wondering where the struggle is, why you're not achieving your goals and not doing the things you want to do, there's probably a good possibility that these are contributing factors.
Like I said, we'll get into some solutions here in this last segment. But when we live our lives on screens, especially in our sexuality, screens are two-dimensional. There's height and width. The part that's missing is depth. And so you're never going to have the depth that you need as a person, as a man, when we live our lives and when we interact primarily, you know, on screens and through screens. And that's with this level of addiction, this type of addiction, you know, that's what we're living, two-dimensional existences.
Shoot, I can't even FaceTime. I still don't FaceTime.
Me neither, man.
It's so weird. Like, I'm talking to you on the phone. You don't need to see my face.
Yeah.
I might have a booger or something. You don't need to be seeing up my nose.
Yeah, well, you know. Just I know saying. We need to see.
We need to see a break?
Let's see a break.
Do that.
We'll be right back. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC. Water.
Sure you want some water?
No, I'm good.
All right, fine.
I've been drinking so much daggone water lately, man, especially this past week.
Oh, what you need to get? I just there's – it's not technically post-workout, but it's just like carb formula so that hour after when your body's craving carbs and things, you take that shake and it's supposed to help like –
See, that's what I need. I need to get into like some of the supplements and all that kind of stuff. I need some creatine. Some
supplement giant. I've been in there. I've talked to Kyle and Adam and Pete, and y'all need to holler at your boy.
I need to get into like that. The pre-workout, the post-workout. Yeah.
I guarantee you there's a supplement giant Parker that will hook you up.
But I need to get some of that, man. I definitely need to get some of that. I'm doing legs tomorrow at noon. The guy I'm doing legs with is like, eat carbs tonight, man. Carb load tonight. He's like, man, I hate legs. I said, I hate the fact that you hate legs, because that means we about to crush them. I need to get some creatine or something like that.
Yeah. Man. Oh well, you need nuts. Like I do my. Protein shake in the morning, which has protein, pre-workout, amino acids, citrulline malate, and then sometimes I'll add in different vitamins and stuff. And then my my actual pre-workout, like after work, heading to the gym is pre-workout. And then the creatine, there's Creagon, which has like three different types of creatine, which is really good.
See, but where do you get all that?
Well, supplement giant.
Yeah.
GNC. I mean, shop around. I didn't see one in Parker, but that doesn't mean there's not one.
I think there's a GNC somewhere.
There's a GNC there, yeah.
I don't know. All right, boom. If y'all know, man, anybody watching, if y'all know what the deal is. Oh, Mike said there might be some crime stats because of porn. Oh, man.
Don't know. Oof, that's why I didn't touch it, because I'm like, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Ooh-wee. Here we go. All right.
Yes, we are back.
Yeah, we're back.
Welcome to the fourth quarter. This is the last inning, the last quarter.
You know, like the Super Bowl, it's gonna be a good quarter.
It's gonna be this is where all the action is.
Yeah. Today, man, we're talking about porn and porn consumption.
Not just porn, but we're talking about my man who helps heal men from porn addiction, who has his own program, freeandd.com or freeandd36.com. Look him up, because I guarantee you this is something you want help with, and you want somebody who's been there, done that, and can walk you through it, because it's an embarrassing topic. It's just like, it's almost as bad as or worse than ED and having to talk to somebody about that. But this is one of those topics you need some guidance, you need some support, and my man has been doing it for over a decade now, right?
Yeah. And I'm glad you held me accountable with that, man, bringing it back. And yeah, freeandd36.com, or my website, kirkmsamuels.com. It's the same. It goes to the same website. Matter of fact, if you type in kirkmsamuels.com and you watch the little address bar, you'll see a change to freeandd36.com. They just point directly to the other. But yeah, you know, I've been helping guys and working with guys, and, you know, whether it's one-on-one coaching or father-son coaching or classes, all that kind of stuff, for about 2 years, man. And my man, you know, Mike chimed in. He talked about some, you know, some stats, some crime stats and that sort of stuff, man. There's just so much out there. You can Google.
Careful if you do, because it'll scare you.
And there are a lot of guys that end up, you know, on To Catch a Predator kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of cops doing law enforcement out here, you know, trolling those sites. Uh-huh. You know, oh, by the way, if you send, you know, pornographic images of yourself or other people to somebody unsolicited, specifically, especially if it's somebody underage, that already is a felony. And a lot of people don't even know that. If you just text somebody a pic, you know, that's a crime. There's so many, you know, relating back to human trafficking and all kinds of stuff, man. And so, it's been my passion to help people, and it's been my calling and my gifting to help. It's amazing when somebody tells you, that they're alive because of you, and just, you know, when I get a text from a guy who, you know, I worked with or was in a class like years ago, and he's talking about his, you know, his family got back together and just all kinds of stuff, man, it's just really, really, really cool.
So what are some of the steps? I mean, I don't want to give away the whole program. I mean, you want to save some for the students, but what are some of the steps that somebody who wants to get off of pornography addiction, and what can they do, or what can they look forward to? I guess this is just
First and foremost, there's no patch, there's no pill. You know, and it takes time. It takes time to get in. It takes time to get out. I believe in Kaizen, small measurable change projected out over time. You know, drastic change is not sustainable. And so it takes time to grind that thing out. When you're addicted to porn, you get addicted holistically. There are neurological things that happen, psychological things. There's spiritual things that happen. There's physical things that happen. It's a all-encompassing addiction. And like I said, it's the only addiction the only drug you can consume in your sleep. And so some of the core foundational things that you get from porn, I mentioned them earlier, is, you know, dopamine, testosterone, endorphins, and oxytocin, right? And oxytocin is the bonding agent, right? The emotional hormone, bond, the love hormone, you know, the that you hang up, no, you hang up, that whole hormone. But oxytocin is basically the antidote to cortisol. Uh-huh. And so, you know, we live in a cortisol-induced society. It's all stress, it's all pressure. You know, that's why, you know, most men are walking around with a gut. That's one of the indications of high cortisol levels, et cetera, which, you know, there are ways to mitigate cortisol. Cortisol is stored in your muscles. So when you work out, you're actually, you know, you're massaging, squeezing out that cortisol.
Well, when you work out all your muscles, just the one.
Yeah, not just the one. Yeah. But, you know, so that's one example of how to mitigate that. And yeah, there's no way I can explain, you know, what you know, what I'll coach somebody for months on or whatever in a couple minutes here. But either way, it's a holistic strategy. I came up with the score method because I'm a guy, right? And when a guy walks in and there's a game on the TV, first thing he says is, who's winning? Because we like to know, you know, who's winning or what's the score, because we like to know who's winning, who's losing, and by how much. So I came out, developed this score method for strengthening your mind, your body, and your spirit on a daily basis. And I gave, you know, there's a whole methodology behind it. I gave, you know, there's numbers to it. And basically it's a way to know that you're winning or not. And you have to be relentless. The same way you're relentless to consume, you have to be relentless and almost manic about fighting this thing offensively. You can't just sit back and white knuckle. You have to do things like get in the gym. You have to do things like learn something. You have to do things like develop your spirit man. You have to do things actively to develop and strengthen all of those kinds of things and be offensive, because defense is not going to work. You can't get away from it. You can't watch TV. You can't watch. You can't pull up social media. You can't go anywhere. Shoot, you can't even go to Target without, you know, seeing. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you
even those mannequins these days, you know, man, watch out.
There are guys that go to that don't even like going to church because the women in church are just like showing all kinds of coochie and all this other kind of stuff. So you can't get.
What kind of church you go to?
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about other people. Okay. Is what I heard. But so you can't get away from it. You have to be offensive. And the way to be offensive, and this is specifically what I teach, is how to be offensive in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, and how to grow in each one of those ways. And like I said, put a score to it so that you know, how am I doing today? Am I winning? Am I losing? And by how much? And you got to be intentional about those things. You got to be up on your health. You know, I just got a call from Castle Rock Men's Health. Nice. Because, I mean, like, literally.
Did you get your results?
Eric down there just called me back because I left him a message earlier about some stuff. But you got to be.
So you're still a dude? You got your results? You got your dude card?
I still am, man. and I got my labs on. I got to get my blood drawn on Thursday.
Oh, that's always fun getting stuck.
And so, but you know, you got to get into it. You got to maybe, I mean, some of it involves getting into some doctor's offices, yep. Getting into some therapy. You know, maybe it's getting into, you know, a church setting or someplace where you can develop your spirit man or something like that.
Yeah, it's time to make a new plan, because I know don't you hate when you become your dad or you start picking up some of those qualities when you get older? Because he used to always tell me, nobody plans to fail. They just fail to plan. Yeah. And I hated that for every day of my life. And now I'm like, man, he was right. And especially when you were trying to change your life. You know, if you want your life to change, you have to change things in your life. Well, most of the times we got into these situations without a plan. We just slid into them because we weren't planning. We weren't paying attention. So to get out of them, we need a plan.
And you have to be offensive. You can go on YouTube, and with the algorithms and all this other kind of stuff, it's all going to funnel you. And by the way, you know, the internet knows you. They know you better than you know yourself, yes. Right? They know your history. They know your tendencies. And they know how to draw you one step deeper into the next thing and the next thing. You know, Jared from Subway didn't wake up with that much, you know, criminal images on his computer. It started off one way, and it just grew and grew and grew, and then it got to the monster grew, and it got to the point of it got to the point of taking over his life and ended up having him in prison.
He got in trouble,
and so, you know, these kind of things start small, but they continue to grow, and it just grows and grows and grows. And like I said, the internet man, that industry makes more than all professional sports combined. Yeah. Makes more than all forms of media combined. How and why?
Got like a Defense Department budget, like they're making billions and
double
trillions.
Digit billions every single year. Yeah. A lot of it is selling your data, selling your information.
So you think it's free? It's not free.
It ain't nothing free. Nothing free. I mean, if you go on any kind of website or web service, and you supposedly get it for free, they're monetizing you in some kind of way. They're monetizing your eyeballs. I mean, social media does it. You're going to get ads and all this other kind of stuff. You know, love YouTube. We're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Check us out on YouTube. But guess what? If you're watching YouTube, you know you're going to get ads, and they're going to, you know, YouTube is owned by Google, so is a whole lot of other stuff. And so all of that goes across all platforms. But you got to be offensive. And that's what I do. I teach people how to be offensive.
And that's what we need. We need some more offense, a lot less defense, a lot less addiction. We need more healthy men, which means – not only do we as men need to start having, because you have like, what is it, you know, Movember where the mustache is, or the you have, you know, no liquor October or whatever, no drink October, whatever. It's time for us as men to start taking breaks from electronics, from pornography, from all of these different stressors, getting out into nature, going camping, doing things to take our freedom back, doing things that will allow us to be back in control. Because for most of us, if we actually took an honest assessment, an honest inventory of our lives, most of us are sleepwalking and out of control. We're just doing what we have been doing, living the same life. It's Groundhog Day for most of us. And until we stop, take assessment, get some help, and create a plan to get out of that, we're just going to be the same dude in 10 years we were the last 10 years before. But we want to be better.
And so let me talk to the guy, first of all. First of all,
listen
up. Let me talk to the guy, whoever you are, man. There is a better life on the other side of that rainbow. Trust me, I've been there. You could not be more addicted than I was. That being said, man, it's going to take some work from you to do it, but it is possible. You deserve to be free. You deserve to have the level of connection and intimacy in your life. You deserve to know that there's nothing holding you down today. You deserve to know that you are living the best you can be. Whatever your ceiling is, you're living it, and there's not a brick holding down your balloon. You deserve that. And unfortunately, you know, life, technology, traumas, all that other kind of stuff made it real easy for us to get addicted to a whole lot of things in our life. And guy that's addicted to pornography, man, I know you want somebody to talk to. I know you want somebody to be able to trust in. I know you want intimacy in all the healthy kind of ways. You know, and intimacy, as we all know, at some point is more than just sex. And so I know you want that, and you can do it. And, you know, to the wife, I would encourage you, you know, to hang on. I would encourage you to, you know, support that man and you know, and reach out, you know, for support to other women. Everybody thinks they're on an island. And if that was the case, it'd be the most populated island on earth. And so we're in this thing together, and we can do it together.
Yeah. And to that point, if you are, if one or both of you are struggling, and if you're in a relationship and you're struggling and you want to create intimacy, going through something as hard as getting over porn addiction and being a supportive wife to your husband, you want to create a man who will be with you through thick and thin, will run through that fire, will lay down his life for you. Support him through going through recovery and see, watch that man never leave you again. But most of us nowadays don't want to put in the effort. We just want the easy way because we've been so conditioned to comfort. It's time to stop being comfortable. It's time to start getting real.
And guys, it is your problem to fix. It is not your wife's problem to fix. It is yours. Absolutely yours. You do it for you. You do it for your son. Your sons are hurting. I mean, our kids, man, this next generation of young men, they got addicted. They got introduced to the crack level of porn. They didn't get introduced to softcore. There's no such thing as softcore. There's no such thing as Skinamax and late night whatever. I mean, they got introduced to the most hardcore of hardcore whatever. So our young men are suffering deeply, and they're lonely, and they don't know how to deal with it. And so, you know, we got to, as men, put a stake in the ground, and we got to fight for something. And there's nothing better to fight for than freedom. This country was founded on freedom. And freedom in every kind of way is important, because if you're a slave to anything, you're a slave to everything. And we as men need to be free so that the world around us can be free.
Well, thank you all for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe if you're on YouTube or Facebook. Make sure you chime in onto Kirk's page and wish him a happy birthday coming up next month, because he has made it around the sun one more again. And until next time, remember, the Mad Men love you. But until then, we are out. No porn November, that's what he said. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because people do like dry January and all that kind of stuff.